Clearly, a lot we still don't know about the details of the Mueller report, but we do know this from the Attorney General's summary of the report released yesterday. The Russian government definitely did try to influence the U.S. presidential election through two cyber efforts. The World's Lydia Manolidou is with me in the studio to talk about one of these cyber efforts. Hey, Lydia.
Hey, Marco. So disinformation, propaganda campaigns, we've talked about this issue a lot, but it was one of the ways that Russia tried to influence the 2016 election. So this letter that came out yesterday, the summary, specifically calls out the IRA, the Internet Research Agency, which, you know, we've also heard about here on the show many times before. It's this quote-unquote troll farm based in St. Petersburg, Russia, that used social media to create division leading up to the presidential election. So last year in February, Mueller's team indicted the Internet Research Agency and 13 Russian nationals who were allegedly working for the company. And they're accused of creating bots, automated accounts on social media to artificially elevate Donald Trump's campaign and to undermine Hillary Clinton's. Also doing things like creating social media pages and accounts around really divisive issues here in the U.S., like immigration and gun rights.
Black Lives Matter, that kind of thing.
Exactly, yeah. And then using those accounts to inflame already existing tensions here in the U.S. and to reach out to U.S.-based activists to do things like organize rallies. I mean, we saw that happening in Texas, for example.
Yeah, these findings basically reaffirming the NSA, CIA, FBI report that came out in 2017. Lydia, don't go away. I want to bring in the World's Orla Barry in London. Orla, you're following another element of the Russian government's efforts, the hacking of emails relating to Hillary Clinton's campaign, 2016. What is known there?
Yes, this is very interesting, Marco. As you'll remember, in 2016, leading up to the elections, WikiLeaks released this tranche of emails hacked from the Democratic National Committee and also from Hillary Clinton's own chairman. And they painted the party and Hillary Clinton, indeed, in, well, not the best of light. And what was interesting was the timing of the release of those emails. So the second set of emails in particular, if you'll remember, they were released on the same day as this infamous Access Hollywood tape where President Trump, he was candidate at the time, was heard making suggestions about inappropriate sexual behaviour. But on the same day, WikiLeaks released this tranche of emails from Hillary Clinton's campaign and from her campaign chairman. And a lot of the sort of Trump rhetoric got lost that day amid this big tranche of emails that was released. So we know since then that the special counsel found that Russian government actors did successfully hack into computers and obtained emails from persons affiliated with Clinton's campaign and then publicly disseminated them through various intermediaries, including WikiLeaks. So that's the sort of the reference to WikiLeaks, but we know little beyond that.
Do we know if the head of WikiLeaks, Julian Assange, played any role in coordinating with any of this stuff?
Well, honestly, we don't. Julian Assange himself has said that the emails, he's persistently denied that the emails came from via the Russian government or a Russian state actor. So it's very hard to know what the relationship is between both sides.
And Lydia Manolidou in Boston, let me turn back to you on the disinformation part of this. Weaponization of social media, whether it's by a foreign government or other non-state actors, it's not going away. Maybe more election trolling and hacking. So what are we to do?
So I spoke about this with Mona Elsawa. She researches disinformation at the Oxford Internet Institute in the UK. And she said that, unfortunately, really, it all comes down to media literacy. So we have to do our research. When we follow an account, when we share an account's message, we have to make sure we know who's behind that account. But she said that governments and the social media companies at the center of this can do more to make sure those accounts are recognized, they get taken down immediately. She said they have been better at doing that. One thing she wants to see social media companies doing more is sharing data with third-party researchers like her, because that really helps them understand disinformation.
This is very important. I know it's 2019 and we have been researching disinformation for a while, but we still know very little about it. And it evolves and we need to evolve with it as well.
So how does she see it evolving?
So one word, deep fakes. Do you know about deep fakes?
No, what are deep fakes?
So imagine there's like a video of you talking, and I take that video and using artificial intelligence tools, I superimpose my face on it and I change the audio. And so it sounds like something you said and something you did came from me. And so she's saying that's going to be the next iteration of disinformation and, you know, fake material that is weaponized around important events like elections.
So it's going to get much more difficult to know what is true, what is not true, even for people who are researching this.
Yeah, demanding a whole nother level of online fluency.
Exactly, yeah.
The World's Lydia Manalidou here in Boston and The World's Orla Barry in London. Thank you both.
Thanks, Marco.
Thanks, Marco.